Let's just pray over our, could you stand with me? We're going to pray over our country today. I know there's been a lot of negativity and disrespect for our flag. But our flag represents more than a material with the stripes and the stars, but it represents lives who have fought so that we can have this freedom, so that we can enjoy this beautiful worship this morning, so we can stand here and have the freedom to lift our hands and lift our hearts in praise. And we have so many blessings. Is America perfect? Not by a long shot. But it's a great country. So we want to declare the goodness of God over our country again today. Every division, every wall, everything that's been tried to tear it down, we want to build up today. And we want to say, to God be the glory. Can you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we just pray, and we're so thankful this morning for our country. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom we have today. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness that you've bestowed upon this country, the unmerited favor, the blessings, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for every man and woman who fought for our freedom, who died and gave their life, the ones who live, the ones who are today that are working through pain and hurt as they've come home, Lord, to try to survive in another world. Lord, heal them today. Bless them today. Send the finances they need to live today. Send the provision. Put family around them, God. Let us always honor and lift up those men and women who've put themselves on the front lines. We pray for their families. We pray, God, for our country. We pray that we will be the hands and feet of Jesus, and that we'll lift this nation higher, and that we'll just proclaim that this is the day of the Lord for America, and for a revival, and for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like never before. In Christ's name we pray, and everybody said amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Are you glad to be here today? Yeah. Tell somebody beside you, you're beautiful. Come on. This is a great day. I had a message that I was going to preach this weekend, the Lord just really started turning my heart yesterday evening, and I'm thankful that he did, and grateful for his goodness in our life. Is Mr. Mike back in here? Hey, come on, Mr. Mike. Come on. Zach, can you bring one of those? He had stepped out when we was honoring him. Come on, Mr. Mike. We want to honor you today. We want to present to you a flag today and bless you. Let's pray over you right now. Father, we just thank you for this mighty man of God. We thank you for his heart for the kingdom of God. We just, Lord, honor him today. We pray over his home. We pray, God, for provision for his life. And we bless him today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, friend. He was here yesterday morning cutting up sausage and cooking for Servolution. Still serving. Anyway, the Lord just put on my heart just to share with you some things about just loving people. And we just need a baptism of love. You know, we need an outpouring of the love of God in our lives. And so many people today are just so desperately in need of just a love connection, just someone that really connects with them and loves them. I'm looking for some notes up here if you're wondering what I'm doing. And so I want to just share a few thoughts with you today, just a few things about just loving people. This weekend was probably the most crazy fun weekends I've had in a long time. I got to go out yesterday, and there was a lot of people here yesterday cooking food and then preparing the food and getting it ready to boxing it to go out. But I was blessed to be able to go with my wife yesterday and my daughter. and Hannah, and we went out in the community to pass out meals, to give out meals. And it, something happened inside of my heart yesterday. I know last week we shared with about Mexico, and I'm super excited about Mexico and excited about what God is doing there. But yesterday God did something so amazing in my heart. And I have to tell you that I told someone this morning, it was probably one of the best servolutions that I've ever experienced. I guess this is our 7th or 8th year. I can't keep up with it. But that yesterday was just amazing. And so we was out just serving and loving on people. And I'm going to share some stories with you in a minute. And God began to speak to me about really how we love people. And, you know, our love sometimes, we say it's not conditional, but love is not something you say. It's something you do. Amen? And so easy just to say I love you. Hey, man. What's up, bro? Love you, man. Love you, girl. Oh, I love you. And inside, like, I'd like to knock them out. But we just kind of throw that word around loosely, you know. Even in our relationships and our and intimate relationships and our marriage and in our with our kids. Hey, I love you, but do you mean I love you? Because love is not something you say. It's something you are. And I don't want that word just to become frivolous to us. But I want that word to just impact lives and change the world around us, and let love be something that we constantly pour out of our hearts. It's an everyday affair with us that we continually to love people. I read a passage of scripture last week, and I want to read it again, and then I'm going to read a little more of it that I didn't read. It's from 1 John 4. And those that are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another, because God is love. And everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences this intimate knowledge of him. The one who doesn't love hasn't yet to know God, for God is love. The light of God's love shined within us when he sent his matchless son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love. He loved us long before we loved him. He loved us long before we loved him. He loved us when we were just good old rotten sinners. Come on, how many in here was just a good old fashioned sinner? Raise your hand. Okay, all those that are not have your hand raised, pray for those people beside you. Because they're still a sinner. They're lying right now. I'm just kidding. So we all were just sinners. You know what I mean? And we categorize sin so oftentimes by what I did or I didn't do. But the fact of the matter is we were all sinners. And we all needed God's love in our life. I was just thinking this morning, I was standing here worshiping. And I was thinking about, hey, when's the last time we've had a real encounter with God? A real encounter with God in our time and our personal time or in our worship time, that we've had a real genuine encounter with God. I'm going to tell you something. In my marriage, I need encounters. Because if I don't have an encounter with Angela on a pretty regular basis, she tells me about it. What does that mean? That means a time out when it's about her. When it's about, hey, I love you. You're the best thing in my life. I care about you. Let's go spend some time, just me and you. No interference from nobody else, just us. And we get to share our lives. We need those encounters. How much more do we need an encounter with God? That we get to really just talk to God, and we get to have God speak to us. And then that encounter with God is so powerful in our life, because when we have an encounter with God, he's pouring his love out on us in an amazing kind of way. And it can't come any other kind of way. Just this sermon today, this message today, is not going to give you an outpouring of love and an encounter with God. You've got to have that moment where you embrace him and you allow him in your life. And he becomes more to you than just a Sunday morning service. He becomes more to you even near your daily devotion, where you just read something from a book. But it's an encounter with him where you sense and feel his presence, and you talk to him and he talks to your heart. That's so good. And we need those encounters with him. For the light of God's love shines with us, and his matchless son sent into the world that we might live through him. This is love. He loved us long before we loved him. It was his love, not ours. He provided it by sending his son to be the pleasing sacrifice to take away all of our sins. Delightfully loved ones, if he loved us with such tremendous love, then loving one another should be our way of life. I quoted this last week. It should be our everyday, everything that we do should be centered around his love and loving others. It should be our way of life. No one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor, but if we love one another, God makes us his permanent home in us, and we make our permanent home in him. You could preach every one of these little passages. And his love has brought to its full expression in us. When we live and engaged in him, his love is brought to a full expression in us. And he gives us his spirit within us so that we can have this assurance that he lives in us and that we live in him. Moreover, we have seen with our eyes, and we could testify to the truth that Father God has sent his son to be be the savior of the world. And those who give thanks that Jesus is the son of God live in God and God lives in them. And we have come to this intimate experience with God's love that we trust in the love that he has for us. God is love. God is love. And those who are living in his love are living in God, and God lives through them. By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression in us so that we will fiercely face the day of judgment. Because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world. Love never brings fear. Come on, love never brings fear. For fear is always related to punishment. And I'm going to stop right there because I feel like God wants me to speak to somebody in this place. I'm just going to stay here just a minute, so listen. God's not wanting to knock you out. God's crazy in love with you. So oftentimes in my young life, growing up in church, I felt like God was standing around with a big battle axe waiting to take my head off because I made a mistake. That's not the kind of God we love. And that's not the kind of God we serve. His heart is broken when we're broken. His heart aches for us. He desires to be with us. He has this incredible love for us that just always, when we're messed up, he puts his arms around us and he pulls us near to him. Someone asked me recently, "So are you saying that God doesn't punish us?" No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that God, when he punishes us, his punishment is always so that he can love us. He can bring us back into his love. It's not putting us away. It's bringing us near. So it's correction. And the Bible says who God loves, he corrects. But his correction is because his love is so crazy for us. But it's never abusive. It's never pushing you out. It's always pulling you back in. Can you feel that this morning? I just feel that so strongly for somebody in this house this morning. It drives that fear away from us. Whoever walks constantly afraid of punishment has not reached love's perfection. Because when you're afraid, you live in that place of abandonment from things in your life, and you think God's always wanting to punish you, you live a fear. But when you live knowing that God's loving you all the time, no matter what you do, no matter what goes on in your life, he's loving you with crazy, crazy, crazy kind of love. Whew, that's so good. Our love for others is our grateful response to the love of God first demonstrated to us. Anyone can say, "I love God," yet have hatred toward another believer. This makes him a phony. Ooh, I don't feel good. This makes him a phony because if you don't love a brother or a sister who you can see, how can you truly love God whom you can't see? For he has given us this commandment that whosoever loves God must also demonstrate his love for others. How different would this world look if we just loved people? Come on, people. How different would this world look if we just loved people? We make decisions about who we're going to love based on so many different kind of things. You know, it's funny. We love people according to what's good for us and how we feel about things. We have these little boxes that we put people in and we love them accordingly. But what would the world look like if we love everyone equally? and if we loved everyone with compassion, and we loved everyone with a caring heart, and we remember what Paul wrote when he said, except for the grace of God, there go I. And we look through the lens of Jesus, and we see people not as what they are maybe at the moment, but what God has created them to be. And we say, look, there's a better life for you. There's something great for you. But you know how they're going to get to know that? Is by our love for them. You know, we have all this division and all this chaos and all this confusion going on in our world, especially in the United States right now. You know how much of that is just a lie from the enemy? And if the church would truly love people like God has commanded us to love people, you know the government's not going to change that. The church is called to change that. The government's not going to change all of this division and hurt and pain, but the church can heal all of that hurt and all of those wounds and all of that brokenness in people's life. And we need to love people no matter what color they are, no matter what their social status is. You know, this sounds funny, but it's true. We have all these little segments of people like us rednecks, you may not love some of those others. You say, oh, Pastor, don't. It's true. We have our little sects of people and we love to be around our people. But God's called us to love everyone. And the truth of the matter is when we start seeing people the way we see them, the way he sees them, we won't even see through those kind of eyes. We'll see the hurting and the broken. We'll love the homosexual. We'll love the lesbian. We'll love the drug addict. We'll love the drug dealer. We'll love the prostitute. We'll love all of those people. We'll love the church across town. We'll love people of different denominations. We'll just love people. And when we start loving people the way God calls us to love them, we break down every barrier. We break down every wall. And we destroy what the enemy sets up to create division. I know in my marriage of 25 years, I can't look back at 25 years and remember one single argument that had really any serious thing. Most of the arguments that we've had, the majority of them are over little things that really don't even matter. And we make mountains out of molehills, out of little simple things, because the enemy wants to sow division where he can. And so he brings these little foxes into our life and sows this little discord over things and makes it difficult for, and calluses our heart and makes it difficult for us to forgive, because he knows that love is the very thing that conquers everything in our life. It conquers every situation in our life. It conquers every storm in our life. When we love, we understand the very heart of God. The scripture tells us, as though we speak with tongues of men and angels, and we have all the gifts of prophecy, and we do all of this stuff, and now we have the greatest theology in all the world. Hey, we have Bible on every corner. We have a Bible in our hand most of the time with a smartphone. We have Bibles. We have verses written. We post them on our walls in our home, and we can have all the theology, and we can have all the church, and we could go to all the revivals, and we could go to all the meetings, and we could go get all the prophetic words that we can listen to. But if we don't love people, it's pointless. It has no power. It has no strength. I'm going to say something. I just feel a little strong right now. A lot of the prophetic things that have been spoken over you probably have not come to pass yet, because you're still trying to hold things inside your heart, and God can't operate through your life because you're holding on to unforgiveness and things in your life. You say, well, I have this prophetic word, but I don't love people. Well, you're probably got the door shut on your prophetic word. Because God's not holding out on you. He's looking for a place to bless you. But he can't bless where there's a closed door. That's not God's fault. You've closed the door to that. And God's saying, if you just open your heart and love people, I'm going to pour out a blessing on you that you can't even contain, that you can't even keep. It's just so powerful. So amazing. When we get to heaven, God's not going to look at us and say, man, you sang well. Man, you was the greatest worship leader ever. You was one of the greatest evangelists. You was the greatest preacher ever. You pastored the greatest church. You were on television. You did all the things great. You attended church so faithfully, and you paid your tithes, and you gave in the offering. He's going to ask us this big question. Did you love? Did you love people? Because all of those things become sounding brass and tinkling cymbal when we don't love. And our church attendance don't matter when we don't love people. But when we do those things, God begins to open up heaven. He begins to pour out his spirit upon us. And he begins to bless our lives like crazy kind of things. Crazy kind of things. Because that's who God is. If you want the gospel to be preached, love people. I love someone quote said, you know, I share the gospel everywhere I go and sometimes with words. Sometimes with words. Because I'm always sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world would look different if we loved. Matthew tells us, and I won't read all this, but I just want to share with you. Matthew tells us that he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Let me give you a little help with that. The sheep are the good people, and the goats are the bad people. So if somebody calls you a goat, say, I reject that. I'm a sheep. I'm a little lamb. But one of the most clear scriptures about heaven and hell, what's eternal, is in Matthew 25. And he said he's going to separate the sheep from the goat. And what's going to be the determining factor of what a sheep is and what a goat is? And he said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. When you've taken care of the least of these, when you loved on those that were broken and hurting, and when you've done those things, so Lord, when did we do that? Well, when you did that to the least of these, you've done it unto me. And I have to tell you that yesterday, I honestly felt like Jesus yesterday. You say, Pastor, that's so sacrilegious. No, because he's put us on this earth to be Jesus. And I honestly felt like I was Jesus yesterday. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, you're Jesus. And then tell him again, now act like it. Hey, you're Jesus, so act like it. He put you on this earth to be his hands and feet and his mouth. And so yesterday, as we was out sharing dinners with people, and it was such a beautiful thing, and I loved it, one, because it was a beautiful day. I just enjoyed, what a great family time. But just going and sharing, and we walked up on this porch, and this elderly lady, and she was so cute, and we walked up. She said, I thought you was the police coming to get me. I said, no, baby, I'm not the police. I'm the preacher. And I said, we just come to just share Jesus with you today, the love of Jesus. And they're all a little apprehensive, like, what's the agenda? There's not an agenda. We don't want you. One little boy said, what do I have to sign up for? I said, absolutely nothing. We're only signing people up for heaven. And so she began to share her story with us, which we're going to have on video and share with you. But she began to share her story about the goodness of God in her life. And we brought food to her, but she brought Jesus to us. And she started telling us about how she was in the hospital, had open heart surgery. And then a few weeks later, she started feeling bad again. And while she was feeling bad, she went back to the hospital. And they told her that she had a hole in her heart. And I just loved her expression. And she said, I ain't got no hole in my heart. And so she called her daughter, Mama, you ain't got no hole in your heart. And so they finally worked through it. And they called her doctor and got a hold of him, which I thought was a miracle, by the way, and that the doctor talked to her on the phone. And so she talked to her doctor, and the doctor called the hospital and said, well, read her chart to me. And as they was reading the chart, they realized that they was reading someone else's chart, and they was about to give her open heart surgery to fix the hole in her heart again. And she says, God's so good to me. God's so good to me. He's been so, I'm 78 years old, I believe is what she said. He's been so good to me. And so while we're standing there just praying for her, loving on her, and experiencing the love of God as we exchange that love back and forth, it was a beautiful moment of prayer. I watched the neighbors as they were watching and they were listening in. And then the next neighbors, we got to share the love of God with them and talk about the goodness of God. And it was really kind of neat to stand with this man and his son. It was early in the morning. It was about 11:30, and they already had a good cold can of beer, and they was pretty lit up already. But when we started talking about Jesus, man, something just broke all the walls down as we shared Jesus with them. such a beautiful thing to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And God is calling us right now to reach our world. As I was sitting here in this first service, the Lord spoke to me that this is going to be, in 2018, is going to be a year of evangelism over this city like we've never seen. I feel like the Lord said it's time for the harbor to rise up and evangelize like we've never evangelized our city, to break down our barriers, to break down our walls, and to get the courage to walk in the streets and proclaim the name of Jesus. Yes. And to love people with all of our heart, and to love people in all of their brokenness, and to love people right where they are. And we can become so cynical, and we can become so disconnected, and we can become to our little wonderful church services where we complain about it, either too cold or it's too hot, or the coffee was good or it was, those were cold and this was done and nobody brought bananas this morning. We didn't get strawberries this week, and we, somebody said in our chair. As a matter of fact, we were talking to two gentlemen that were businessmen in our city. One of them owned a car lot. He had another business. I can't remember what it was. The other was a contractor. And we pulled up on this dead-end road, and we asked them if they needed any food. They said, we don't, but those workers might need some. So we fed them. We stood there and talked. And they talked about how when they were young men, they were in trouble and in prison. And they got out of prison, and they started trying to put their lives together, open business, and do the right thing. But hanging over their head was their past. And everywhere they went, people would remind them of the days when they were living in the hood, and there were bad kids, and they were selling drugs, and their past hung over their head. He said, I remember I felt like I needed to get to church so bad. I went in one Sunday morning, and I sat down on the front of the church, and the little lady walked up to me, and she said, son, you're sitting in my seat. You need to get up out of my chair. He said, I tucked my head and I walked to the back of the church and I sat down because I didn't feel like there was space for me in the front of the church. Luckily, the pastor recognized it and he rebuked the church and told him, said, hey, all you saints have been serving the Lord for a long time. Get up and let those that are coming in sit on the front. But when we become so religious, in our attitude, so religious in our life that we don't even see people for who God created them to be. We're reminded always of their past. The things they done, maybe out of the foolishness of the heart of a child, but this day they're giving back to God. And they're looking for a place that will love them, not for who they were, but for who God created them to be. As we were there, a lady rode up on a bicycle, and Heather gave her a meal, and Hannah gave her a meal. I got too many H's in my life. Hannah gave her a meal, and when she gave her the meal, she looked over at one of the guys that we were talking to, and she said, he saved you some money today, because I was coming to ask you to go buy me some chicken. And he said, well, that's what we do. So they come to us and we buy them a box of chicken. She comes every day to get a box for money to go get a box of chicken. And I said, give her another meal. And she said, that was so sweet because you know I could eat two of these. Just loving people on purpose. So oftentimes we don't realize there's people around us that are just starving. In the same neighborhood we drove into, we had given out all the meals and loved on some people. Prayed with one lady. Her son was incarcerated. And she cried and wept in the car as we prayed for her. Another lady, Angela, prayed for her. She was simple. I could see that she had some mental problems. But she was pushing a little baby stroller with her goods in it. And Angela said, can I pray for you for something? She said, we gave her a meal. She said, yes, you could pray for me because they come and they terrorize me every night. They beat on my trailer and they scare me and I need protection. You're living in complete fear, living alone. And Angela began to pray over her. My heart broke. I thought, God, how can we live in our little confines of our life? We go out to dinner and we drop a $100 bill for my family to eat, and it's pretty common to spend $100 for a meal. It's pretty common to go to the grocery and buy what we want. It's pretty common to, if we don't have time to cook, it's not a deal to go out and grab something to eat, because we're blessed. And there's people around us that are hurting, that are broken. We passed out all the meals at this one place, and we had just one little bag of five meals left, and we were running late. We was trying to meet Keith, and so we saw this little family of four walking down the street, and I said, "Would y'all like something to eat?" And those little kids lit up. You could just tell, like, "Oh, really?" And so we gave them the meals, and they sit right there. They opened them right there on the street and began to eat out. Well, I thought they were going to take them home with them, but they began to eat out of those plates right there because they were so hungry. They ate right then, immediately. And we think, well, if we could go to Africa, if we could go to Mexico, if we can go to Indonesia, if we could go to all these places and reach the world. But you know what? If we're not reaching the world around us, mostly what we're wanting to do is go on a vacation and feel good about something that we did, when there's a world around us. Because Jesus said, first in Jerusalem, then Judea, then the uttermost parts of the earth. My last story I'm going to tell is one home we went to and just loved on them and blessed them with some food. And I said, well, what, you know, I said, we pray for y'all. I said, what can we do for you? I said, well, just pay it forward. Just love someone. She said, well, I just got through cooking breakfast for all of my family. I said, see how God is? He don't take long to come back and return to you, because you can never outgive God. I want to live that life. I want my life to be a life of giving, of touching people's life and loving people. But we have to have a baptismal of love, folks. It's so easy to live in our little world and forget all the good things that God's done for us. I was in that little subdivision, and we drove out, and we came down the main street of Hammond, and there was all the restaurants lined up, and people sitting out at the restaurants, and they were eating. You know, they were at Mojitas, and as you drove down, and tacos and beer, and down the sidewalk to all the other restaurants, and people enjoying their Saturday, eating and dining. And I thought, you know what? We live in our little world where we eat and we dine and we live, and just three or four blocks away is somebody just looking for a single meal. But let me use that analogy just for a minute. We can live in our little Christian world where we come to church and we're blessed and we feel the presence of God. We have great worship like we had this morning. The power of God is so strong in this place and touches our life. And we could come with our hands and we just eat at the table. And that's good. That's what we're here for. But after we've eaten, can we not forget to pour it out? After we've taken of the goodness of God, can we remember what God has called us to do? He didn't call us just to be consumers. He called us to be conduits, that we pour out this goodness of God, and to love people right where they are. You know, healing comes to us when we begin to heal others. I tell people oftentimes when I'm counseling with them and they're telling me how bad life is, I always like to ask them the question, who are you serving? What do you mean? I said, well, when you get so introspective on your life and you're just looking at you, and woe is me, and my life is bad, and I have nowhere to go, and, you know, and what am I going to do? I ask you, who are you serving? Who are you pouring out blessing on? I've always found this to be true, is when we start healing people, we start getting healed. And we start loving people, we open up all the avenues of our life, and God starts loving us. We start giving grace, we start receiving grace. And the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And we live with all these blessings of God in our life, and we live with all the goodness of God in our life. We can complain about the silliest things, Well, I don't like to be inconvenienced. I remember last week my truck broke down. I had to put it in the shop. I had to say, hey, Audrey, can you come get me? Can you take me to my house? Can you come pick me up? Oh, that's just an inconvenience of life. Some people, that's their life that we take for granted. We take for granted. I'm not talking about serving just today. I'm talking about loving today. Because none of these things that we are called to do to serve, we can never do it until we're loved. And the scripture tells us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And here's what I believe. I believe a lot of the reason we can't love other people is because we don't love us. We got brokenness in our life. We got hurts in our life. We've got wounded places in our life. And the enemy's always bringing up our past. He's always bringing up what we did wrong yesterday. He's always reminding us of what a loser we were, the mistake that we made. And he puts this guilt and this shame on us. You know why he does that? It ain't just to destroy us. Because he knows that if we ever understand the love of God and how much he really loves us, that we know what we're going to do? We're going to love people. And when we start loving people, we're going to change the world. And so he keeps all of this stuff bottled up inside of us. Inside of us. At our first service today, there was this beautiful little woman who's been a Muslim for 50 years who just gave her life to Christ. It was gorgeous this morning. And we rejoice over that. We're excited about it. She said, I need God to help me. She gave her life to the Lord 2 weeks ago. And she just come to us and said, I've invited Jesus in my heart. I want this love that you preached about. And she said, I know that I've got to have more of Jesus to break these chains of religion off of me. 50 years of religion. And inside of me says, come on, I want to tell the church, we got to break these years of religion off of us where we just come to church, where we just go through our through the motions, and we come and we just go through our Sunday service, and it's just a religion. It's not a relationship, because when we get into a real relationship, the love of God is going to pour out of us. Break every chain off of our life. Give us the grace to love people. Give us compassion in our heart. Help us to heal those that are broken. Scripture said that Jesus went about doing good, healing the sick, opening the blinded eyes, raising the dead, and he cared about people. He cared about people. Heal us, Lord. We're supposed to be carriers of peace. The purest form of religion there is when we take care of the orphans and the widows. When we feed the hungry, we clothe the naked, we bind up the brokenhearted. And look, I love the prophetic more than anybody. Listen, we chase around here and get a prophetic word, and we chase around there and go get a prophetic word. And we heard so prophet so-and-so is going to be in the area. We run over here to get a prophetic word. But you want to release the prophetic out of your life? You want to get a prophetic word that's activated? Start serving people. Start loving people. Start carrying the message of the gospel within you. And let heaven open up all around you. That's the most fulfilling thing you can do in this earth. You can work hard and have all the money in the world and still be empty. Come on, somebody. Some of the most lonely people in the world today are the wealthiest people in the world today. They've isolated themselves. The greed has taken over their life. They have no hope. And they need you to go to them and tell them about Jesus and break into their walls and break down their walls and love them. It's not just the poor. It's not just the rich. It's not just the black or the white or the Hispanic or the Asian. Oh, if we could be like Jesus, we'd never see color. We'd just see people. We'd just see people. I want Jesus to baptize us with his love this morning. There's some people in here today that just need to be healed of your past. And just say, God, come into my heart. You carry hurts from the past. Why don't you give them to the Lord this morning? They're not worth carrying. You carry hurts from people in your life. They're not worth carrying. They're just weights to weigh you down. Why don't you let Jesus come and invade your life with his love this morning? If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, and I'm not just talking about coming into an altar and shaking a preacher's hand and saying I'm a Christian, but I'm talking about having an encounter with him where you say, come on, God, invade my life with your goodness. It's real simple. You know, religion makes it so hard. Jesus made it so easy. He said, just repent. Just repent. Just come to me with honest heart and say, Father, just forgive me. Here I am, God. I just lay my head on your lap and I just love you, God. Just forgive me. Just forgive me. And then forgive yourself. I'm not going to hold myself hostage any longer. I know who I am. I'm a child of the King. I'm not an orphan. I'm a daughter. I'm a son. I'm blessed. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm walking with royalty. And then let his love just pour out of you. How many want to just be baptized with the love of God this morning? You just want God just to baptize you with his love. You just want to say, God, I want this more than anything else in the world. Just pour it out on me, God. So with your head bowed this morning, we bring down the lights. I want you to just put your hand over your heart this morning. Oh, I feel so much of Jesus in this house. He wants to rescue you this morning. From what, Pastor? He wants to rescue you from you. From the things that you speak over your own life, the things that you feel about yourself. Can you forgive yourself today? This message is not about condemnation to say, hey, you're not good enough if you're not. This is about getting baptized with the love of Jesus so that your life could just be an open flow of his Spirit. Can you just put your hand over your heart today and say, Father, I forgive me. As you forgive me, Lord, as you wash me of all of my sins, as you forgive me, Lord, maybe for the things that I didn't do, as I forgive others, God, for the things they've done to me, Lord, forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not in this temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil, Lord Jesus. As we bring your kingdom to earth, God, as we let your love be poured out over our lives, oh God. As we have a fresh encounter with you this morning, God, we open our heart that you pour your love out upon us.